I looked at that and thought, that's a very good definition of self-esteem. How it's created, why it's sustained, why does it stick like super glue? Yeah? And how to fix it. And the diagram told me I'd gone all round the problem. There was no more new facts to find. Lots of details to fill in, but I found all the details, all of the main parameters that I needed to find. And that was very useful in itself. Well, I was going to tell you. Yeah, so I put this together in a course. There was one part of the course I struggled with, and that was how to deal with memory of pain. And there's a technique, and it's actually a BK friend gave me this technique. It also appears in a book called The Journey by a lady called Brandon Bays, and she managed to cure herself of cancer using this technique, so it has a good pedigree. And on one occasion, I ran this as a course, and my friend who gave me the technique ran that part of the course over Skype for me. And I recorded everything, and that's what went into the manual. And again, when I had the course written out, I passed it around all of my friends and said, can we make this better? Can we make it more fun? Anything else I should include? Get the idea, yeah? And I eventually, about the third go of doing this, I caught the attention of Diane Tillman, psychologist, Seal Beach, California. And she looked at my course and, definitely not. So she decided to get involved. So she said she literally laid the manual out across the carpeted floor and took out the bits she didn't like, shuffled up my baby, and then put in the bits that she thought ought to be in the course. And the end result is that the course went from being an okay course to being a very good course. It's quite a powerful course now. You'll find as we go into this material, it's some beautiful stuff in here. Yeah? But there is an interesting, not a conflict, but I was so pleased that Diane Tillman came on board that whatever she said, fine, Diane, no problem, type it straight in, you know? Even if I didn't think it was very sensible or didn't see the sense of it, it went into the manual. Now, there was a certain tension here because my engineering training is to give things accurately, briefly, once. That's good consultant communication. Accurately, briefly, once. My friend Diane Tillman, she likes dressing it up, adding the odd flowery detail, and then saying it two or three times through the course, and she loves words. So, my own opinion is the course has too many words, and you'll see it reflected in the slides, yeah? But it's okay. It's okay. There was a time when I had a conversation with Diane, and I said, you know, Diane, what's going to happen to this course is that Brahmins around the world are going to look at this course and take out the bits that they like, shuffle it around, and that's what they'll use. She said, no, they can't do that. You have to stop them. And you'll find there's a statement here in the course which says, trying to control others is futile. So, people tell me that is exactly what they do. They take out the bits that they like and use that. It's a shame because the course has a very strong structure and it leads you through the various ideas in the right order. So I try to give the course exactly as it's written in the manual as far as I can. And I think it's the right thing to do. Okay. So where does that lead us? Yeah, so we finished the course about 3 or 4 years ago, and Diane and I gave the course together here in Madaban, and the course has now taken its own legs, And people are now giving this course around the world, for which I'm really pleased. My personal belief is that every single Brahmin should take this course. Low self-esteem really does affect only 99.9% of all the Brahmins. That's everybody. Maybe it's not Daddy Janki, but everybody else, yes. And I'm not sure about Daddy Janki. And given that you have a level of low self-esteem, it really does get in the way of your spiritual growth. When we get to part four, you'll see how that works. Yeah? If you were fully soul conscious, you wouldn't have low self-esteem. But the low self-esteem stops you becoming soul conscious. So unless you get out of that, okay? So you get stuck. And it makes it very difficult to make spiritual progress. And that's why I would like every Brahmin to take this course. Every single Brahmin in the world. Yeah? So I'm delighted that you're here today. Thank you for coming. And actually, I really appreciate it because it's a big commitment to come for 5 mornings, you know? In your Madhaban time. Wow! This expensive time. So, well done. So what else do we need to do? Course summary. Here it is. It's in 5 parts. In part one, we're going to do a look at self-esteem, what she is and how much she affects you, and a general view. And we'll start the process of building tools to overcome low self-esteem, to deal with the negative self-talk. Session two, we learn about accepting myself, accepting my emotions. Session three, even an elephant has to deal with ants. A-N-T-S means automatic negative thoughts. Yeah? There's about 3 or 4 different techniques of dealing with negative thoughts, and the A-N-T-S worksheet is one of them. It's a good technique. Session four, we look at some other healing processes, and we look at the mechanics of self-esteem, the diagram that I talked about. And from that, you'll see exactly how it works. It's very insightful. And session five, we talk about positive power, building positive power. And if you attend session five, you'll learn how to become infinitely powerful. Sound good? Yeah? Okay. So today, we're going to look at the basis of this course, or we've done all that. Oh, no, I'll start with that. Characteristics of self-esteem, of low self-esteem, the basis of identity, and then different ways that we measure ourselves, looking at passive versus aggressive low self-esteem, and creation of affirmations about your core quality, which is a key piece of today. I'm losing track of time. We started at 10. Yeah, that's all right. We're doing fine. I just need to watch the clock. So this is your chance to have a little go. Work in groups of perhaps 3, 4, or 5, as you will. 3 questions there. What is self-esteem? What do you think it is? If somebody has high self-esteem, how would you know that? If somebody has low self-esteem, how would you know that? Yeah? Have a little dialogue over this. Take 10 minutes and then we'll come together and share the results together. Just 2 more minutes. 2 minutes. Okay, I think most of you are done now. That's good. So if we could come together. And you can now share with me if you would, please. Hold on, let's just turn this nice music off. Come on. Thank you. So, what do you think self-esteem is?
Brother, we came up with 3 definitions. First one is it defines my boundaries of how positive and how negative I can be in situations. Second is, it is to do with the self-respect. And the third one is it's our own definition about ourselves.
Okay, so it's about boundaries, treating myself with self-respect, and the last one was?
Our own definition about ourselves.
Okay, sounds good. Anybody else?
those who have self-esteem are cheerful and they have their own sense of self-respect and deep inner self-knowing.
Okay. If somebody has good self-esteem, how would you know? You were saying cheerful, people treat themselves with self-respect. But my personal definition is self-respect is how you treat yourself. It's a practical, physical thing. Yeah? So, anybody, any other contributions? If I have high self-esteem, how would you know? Positive qualities? Okay. Let's try the other way around. If I have low self-esteem, how would you know? What would be my characteristics?
Negative.
Negative, yeah? Fearful? Biased?
Shying away,
yeah? Moaning. Insecure. Yeah, it's actually, these are pretty good answers. Yeah, it's not bad. But you hear a wide range of negative behaviors coming from low self-esteem. So let me give you some ideas. Stuck in the past? Absolutely right. Yes. So the basis of the course is low self-esteem is not natural. It is an acquired consciousness as a result of losing spiritual energy and developing negativity. Yes. True self-esteem is your natural condition and is not affected by anything. We haven't got the definition yet. You have the qualities needed to reveal your true self-esteem again. And this course by finding and removing the blocks to your self-esteem and being fully happy again. So I would suggest self-esteem is what you think about yourself. It's your own valuation of yourself. Self-respect is how you treat yourself. Yeah? So here's some ideas. Self-esteem is when you don't make excuses for your mistakes. You're going to get all these from the download. Really, you just relax and just absorb, yeah? When you don't make excuses for your mistakes, when somebody else's bad mood doesn't affect your good mood because you're much more stable. When it's okay to spend a Saturday night on your own. Yeah? When you don't care how much money somebody else makes. When you can think for yourself. When you're honest in your relationships. Yeah? And I'll just share an idea with you that sometimes people get into conflict. Yeah? And before I met the Brahma Kumaris, I could not bear conflict. And the remedy I adopted was to make sure my work was always perfect. And to achieve that, I worked long hours, I worked weekends, neglected my family, but my work was perfect. My clients loved it. They thought it was great, you know? I've come to appreciate conflict is wonderful. It's the seedbed of new ideas, better understanding of other people's ideas. Yeah? So managed conflict is entirely healthy and useful and beneficial. Unmanaged conflict is deadly. And the principal characteristic of unmanaged conflict is stupid man. Giving people the deaf and dumb treatment, going into your corner, sulking, all those things. This is unmanaged conflict, yeah? And it's deadly, yeah? So, and the point I'm making to here, to be honest in your relationships, there was an article I was, a video I was watching the other day, talking about successful marriages. And you would imagine that people who were very tolerant of each other, that would be the basis of a successful marriage. Not true. Actually, when people are tolerant of each other, it means they suppress their feelings. And what happens, and you'll see that it comes up later, suppressed feelings just get stronger and come out with a big bang later on. The most successful marriages are where people raise issues instantly. What do you mean? You're not going to do the babysitting tonight? Or whatever. But the issues are raised immediately and dealt with. And they're not allowed to fester. Yeah? So this is part and parcel of being honest in your relationships. Raising issues immediately. Managing the conflict. Managing the diversity of views. Yeah? It's very healthy. Self-esteem is an expression of inner power. And that theme we'll be coming up with quite a few times. Now, just as an interesting insight, could you imagine replacing the word self-esteem with soul consciousness? Soul consciousness is when you don't make excuses for your mistakes. Soul consciousness is when somebody else has bad mood, etc. Soul consciousness is when it's okay to spend a certain night on your own. Yeah? You see the way they go down? And they all match up. They're all equally true, I suggest. I know that in quite a few courses they try and ignore traffic control. But I take the view that's what you're here in Mataban for. Anyway, where do we get to? Here we are. Some ideas about self-esteem characteristics. These came from a workshop I found when I did my research in Hong Kong, 2003. So it was old then. Yeah? So in self-esteem, you feel worthy compared with feeling worthless. I had a young man attend my center in Oslo, and he gave me his email address is unwanted@hotmail.com. And I tried to persuade him this was a spectacularly unhealthy email address to have. He'd be reinforcing over and over again this feeling of being unwanted. Poor man. In self-esteem, you can be happy. In low self-esteem, it's hard to be happy. Yeah? In self-esteem, you can find inner peace. In low self-esteem, you tend to have lots of noise inside your head because you're concerned all the time about what other people think of you. Yeah? What do I look like? Can they see the mistakes in my work? Yeah? And these anxieties take up space in your head. I should point out, this chart, I want to get through this chart quite quickly. So this is when I start speaking very fast. So if I do, please, you've got your torch ready, okay. In self-esteem, you can learn from your mistakes. In low self-esteem, mistakes are a disaster. Look, I've made a mistake. No, I didn't make a mistake. It was him, definitely not me, you know. In low self-esteem, you can't cope with mistakes because people will then think you're stupid or what have you. In self-esteem, therefore, you can take calculated risks. In low self-esteem, you tend to stay in your comfort zones. And your comfort zone is particularly about the past. The past is fixed. I can deal with the past. The present and the future are full of unknowns that could trip me up at any moment. Yeah? I had a young man on my team in Hong Kong, and we had this very high-pressure job about doing research for the government hospitals of Hong Kong. And we had a ton of work to get through. And I gave this man a job. He needed to phone 11 companies to get information from them. And he wouldn't do it. He spent all his time creating the artwork for the front of the report. I don't need artwork for the front of the report. I finished up having to phone these companies myself at the 11th hour, 59th minute. So, self-esteem accepts and empowers others. In low self-esteem, we tend to be critical of others. It's a desire to put other people down, to make myself feel better about myself. Actually, when you put other people down, you simply reveal how small-minded you are. Yeah? You don't put the others down at all. Self-esteem obstacles are a way to move forward. If you have a good self-esteem, obstacles are a valuable learning opportunity. Yeah? I remember J.F. Kennedy was talking about going to the moon in the next decade. And we're not doing this because it's easy, we're doing this because it's hard. Yeah, and full of obstacles, which they all overcome, and they learned a tremendous amount in the process. So if you have good self-esteem, obstacles are a good learning opportunity. If you have low self-esteem, you don't want to know. You won't tackle it, because if you tackle it, you might fail. Therefore, you'll just pretend it doesn't exist. In self-esteem, you have clarity because your mind is clear. In low self-esteem, your head is full of noise, confusion, and indecisiveness. And in self-esteem, you can have self-respect, which is how you treat yourself, and therefore respect your body and health problems. In low self-esteem, you don't care about your health. You need the lift that smoking, drinking, drugs, eating disorders will give you. Yeah? And you don't care how much damage it does to your body. I was shocked when I did some work in a drug rehab center in Hong Kong, and one day I decided we'd talk about self-esteem as an issue. And I discovered these guys didn't have low self-esteem. They had zero self-esteem. I mean, how can you survive with zero self-esteem? Well, that was the actuality. I was shocked. I have a desire to do work in Norway with people suffering from addictions. The meditation course and this course, I believe, are powerful antidotes to addiction. I haven't got it off the ground yet. In self-esteem, you can have an attitude of learning and progressing, and in low self-esteem, you tend to be stuck in the past. In self-esteem, you can be independent. In low self-esteem, you tend to be dependent, particularly dependent on other people's opinion of you. In self-esteem, you can experience success. In low self-esteem, all of the little failings and mistakes that you made become monsters that you have to hide, and you never experience success. Everything is never quite good enough. In self-esteem, you tend to be tolerant. In low self-esteem, the opposite. In self-esteem, when you make mistakes, you learn the lessons and move on. In low self-esteem, you tend to live with guilt all the time. Because typically you haven't dealt with the mistakes, you've just hidden them, suppressed them, put them out of the way. In self-esteem, you can challenge your fears. In low self-esteem, you live in fear. In self-esteem, you can feel secure. In self-esteem, you can transform your anger and channel it into a useful direction. In self-esteem, you can be humble. And now, being humble is actually the characteristic of a strong person. It means you don't need to become famous. You don't need to be number one. I found it interesting that when I became aware of all this material, at business meetings, the first 15, 20 minutes, everybody around the table would want to say something just to make the point that I'm here and you have to listen to me. In low self-esteem, you tend to be weak and you seek to be significant. For me, this is really interesting. You'll notice, even within the Brahma Kumaras, people will do things just to appear significant. You know? They've got this top job and they've got a very nice apartment in Vishnupuri or whatever. It's true. It's exactly how it is, you know? And it comes down from this desire to be significant. Now, the other side of this is that I'm thinking of a small number of individuals I know who are incredibly arrogant. It's a phenomenon of low self-esteem, but they're really arrogant. But because they're arrogant, they do amazing service for Baba. They do the most wonderful things. And they get away with it. So Baba uses it, you know? So don't ever take a judgment about somebody, because Baba will use that soul to the best advantage he can use that soul. So don't think of it as a negative quality. In self-esteem, you can be motivated. In low self-esteem, you tend to procrastinate. Procrastination is when you do the things that you like doing, not the things that you should be doing. I've got degrees in procrastination. I'm really good at it. In self-esteem, you can be calm. In low self-esteem, you tend to be easily irritated or angry. Before I met the Brahma Kumaris, I had massive low self-esteem. No, I had negative self-esteem. I hated being Peter. Dear God, can I be somebody else? Everybody else seems to be having so much more fun. Yeah? Now I love being Peter. I've got the best job in the world. It's great. In self-esteem, you can feel, you'll never feel lonely. In low self-esteem, you may feel lonely. Now, one observation you should draw from this is that low self-esteem affects pretty well every area of your life. Yeah? And you'll see from later on in the course, everybody's affected by this. So it's a real draw, dead weight on you making any sort of progress, professionally or spiritually. It really holds you back. It's not good news. Oh yes, an important point. Somebody with high self-esteem is likely to have good confidence and good capabilities. Yeah, yeah.
What would you call a mixture of the two, high self-esteem and low self-esteem? Because I can find myself in
it. So the sister is asking, what's the in-between, the mixture of low self-esteem?
What would you call a mixture of the two, high self-esteem?
There isn't really an in-between. It's like two sides of a coin, one or the other. But you'll find when we do worksheet 1.3, you'll see the relevance of that. And you'll see the combination of passive self-esteem and aggressive low self-esteem. You can have both. Yeah? And that will make more sense then. Yeah? So, good confidence, good capabilities, and high status are not necessarily indicators of good self-esteem. So, for example, when I worked as an engineer, I had tremendous self-confidence. I knew what I was good at. I knew my work. I had no hang-ups about going to Crystal City, Virginia, in front of all the nuclear engineers of USA, and saying, "You guys aren't doing a very good job, you know." And coming up with the evidence to back it up. You know? So improving confidence, good capabilities, and status will not touch somebody else's self-esteem. So the rub from this is you can't fix somebody else's low self-esteem. You can only fix your own. Yeah? And if somebody else has low self-esteem, they have to fix it for themselves. You have to send them on this course. So have a go at worksheet 1.1. Yeah, fill that in, and it gives you a sort of indicator of where you are today. Just the first sheet, 1.1, and give yourself a score out of 10. How good you are in self-esteem. And if anybody scores 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, would they please tell me how they're doing it? I'd like to know. I'll try and play some nice music. Thank you. Okay, just one more minute. Has anyone not finished 1.1? Okay. Was that interesting for you? Yeah? Anybody score 10, 10, 10 all the way down? I don't think even I would score 10 all the way down. Yeah? Okay. Now I need to get onto here. So time for a little stretch break. You've been sat down for nearly an hour and a half. Why don't you get yourself up out of the chair and have a little walk around, stretch the legs, get the blood going again. Yeah? That'd be a good thing to do. Just take 5 minutes between now and 5 minutes time.
Thank you.
Okay, some basic stuff. If your identity is based on external things, your sense of self-worth will go up and down as those things come or go, or as your desires change. So I remember somebody giving a management training tape, and they said that he had more fun out of his Porsche waiting for it than when he got it. Once you've got the Porsche, you want another one or a bit better one, or, you know. External things will never lead you towards happiness. So if you're measuring your sense of self-worth by the size of your car, your house, whatever, you're always going to be unhappy because somebody else will have more or bigger or better or whatever, yeah? And of course, the most stable and sustainable sense of identity is being soul conscious. I am the soul, not I have a soul. I am the life force within. I'm not the body. I'm eternal. I'm at peace. I am peace. I am love. You get the idea. Yeah, you're all Brahmins. You understand all that. Have a go at worksheet 1.2. Now, the whole range of parameters there. If you think of yourself as being very good at one of those parameters, and therefore are worthwhile, or if you think of yourself being as very bad at one of those parameters, therefore you rate yourself down, and either way, up or down, you give a little tick in that box. And we'll see how many of those boxes you tick off at the end of the exercise. Just do this one quickly. Take just 5 minutes over it. Yeah, the bottom half of this sheet is especially for Brahmins, so you should be filling that in as well. Take just another minute. Okay. So was that interesting again? Yeah? Now, every one of those ticks that you put on the paper is a mark of how much you are relying on things outside of you for your feeling of self-worth, up or down. So it's actually not a healthy thing to do. And the truth is that you are too complicated to judge yourself on just one or two parameters. And in any case, you're changing all the time anyway. Yeah? So, you can always choose how you want to change. So to judge yourself high or low by any one particular parameter is not a good idea. Yeah? It's good to know the truth, but it's not good to be dependent on it. Okay. Have I jumped ahead? No, I haven't. So, measuring yourself, do I feel superior when I'm driving a nice car? And less superior if I'm driving a wreck? Or do I feel a top Brahmin if I'm staying in Harmony House? Or not such a top Brahmin if I'm in Raj Rishi Bhavan? I'm staying in Raj Rishi Bhavan. Okay. And because of my education in self-esteem, I've become very humble. I'm more humble than anybody I know. Oh, I rate myself very high on humility, yes. Absolutely, that would be a massive sign of ego. So, and how do I value other people? If I have to employ somebody, do I the chief executive officer, the cook, the cleaner, technician, do I give them equal respect? And I have to say that my experiences over the last few years have increased my sense of soul consciousness a huge amount. So now I regard everybody as the same. Yeah? Seeing as Daddy Janky, I would regard with the same respect as somebody who cleans the streets or fills the supermarket shelves. The same. Share an idea with you. Every single person you meet is the end result of all the decisions they've made over many, many lifetimes. Some of those decisions may not have been great ones. Yeah? But what you see in front of you today does not represent their true nature. Their true nature, their original nature, is very beautiful. So today you might see somebody who's bossy, crusty, angry, yeah? But that's not their true nature. Their true nature is to be beautiful. And it helps. Arrogance creates great sorrow when people think and act like they are better than others. Arrogance comes around, it's another phenomena of low self-esteem. It's when people feel a sense that they're lacking in self-worth, therefore they hide it under arrogance so that people can't come too close and find out what their real nature is. And my personal belief is that some people work hard to get top jobs, to prove to themselves and to the world that they're worthwhile people. Yeah? And you can tell that low self-esteem is the basis for that. When you criticize them, they explode. Yeah? Have you ever seen that in industry? You criticize somebody and they just go completely wild. Yeah. Also, over time, over lifetimes, we've played both ends of the scale of feelings of superiority and inferiority. They're both expressions of low self-esteem. And both sides need to be healed. So, have a go at worksheet 1.3. There are three columns there. And the left column is about passive low self-esteem. The middle column is about aggressive low self-esteem. And the right-hand column is about what would happen if you had good self-esteem. Yeah? And you may find that for one particular row, you might be in different situations in different areas of your life. So you might find yourself ticking more than one column in any one row. Maybe it's even all three columns, yeah? But the idea is to just give yourself an indicator of where you are today. And the passive low self-esteem and the aggressive low self-esteem are simply things that you have learned, perhaps over many lifetimes. And what you have learned, you can learn the opposite. You can learn to have good self-esteem again. So have a go at worksheet 1.3. Sister Hang hasn't come back with the sheet yet. I can't see her. How are you doing? Anybody not finished? All done? Okay. So was that also insightful for you? Now who found themselves all in one column or another? Okay, I won't ask which. It's very rare, actually. Most people are a mix. Yeah? And I had imagined that the majority of sisters would have passive low self-esteem and the majority of men would have aggressive low self-esteem. If anything, it's the other way round. Isn't that shocking? Sisters tend to have, as a generality, sisters tend to have aggressive low self-esteem and men tend to be quite passive. Interesting. But really, the point of this chart I would like to make is that there is these two concepts of passive low self-esteem and aggressive low self-esteem. And sometimes aggressive low self-esteem is described as having too much self-esteem. It's low self-esteem. It's just a different manifestation of it. Okay. Now we're getting down to the interesting part. Why I love me. What qualities do you like about yourself? Yeah? There are three questions coming up on this page, so save your cameras. Yeah? What qualities do you like about yourself? Now you should come up with at least six qualities, preferably 10. Yeah? So for example, you guys mostly came on time, that makes you punctual. You have an interest in dealing with your low self-esteem. That means you have self-respect. I'm sure you're loving parents you love your children or you love your parents, so that makes you a loving person. You laugh at my jokes at the right time, so that means you've got a very good sense of humor. Well, there's four to start with. You just need two more and you're away. Wonder if that will work. Here's some virtues you might like to think about. I just made these up today. Gives you food for thought. You must be at least half of those. I like the one holy. Write them down in your notebook. Now, I'll just leave that for a few more seconds. Okay. So, if you run out of qualities for yourself, what qualities do your friends love about you? One of the students said she didn't know, so she organized a dinner party. And she wrote down all the positive qualities of her friends, each one on its own card, and used them as place markers but didn't put their names on the card. And they had to find their place by getting the right positive qualities. Nice idea. And at the end of the evening, she pulled out a flip chart and said, okay, now you can write down my positive qualities. And that's what she used as her homework. We'll come to the homework soon. So what qualities do your friends love about you? Yes, what you think they love about you. Yes. Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you're particularly wise. Maybe you're a brilliant cook and they love your food. Maybe you've got a nice home and they like visiting you in your home. If you're running out of ideas, why does God love you? You should be able to come up with quite a few reasons under that. Can somebody suggest reasons why God loves you? Call them out. I don't understand what you're saying. Come closer.
So I was thinking the reason which I actually believe that God loves me is the truthfulness to myself, to Him, and to others.
Your commitment to God.
Your truthfulness, like, whatever I'm doing, I'm actually very honest to everybody.
Okay.
Yes or no, or if it is a mistake.
Yeah, God says He loves an honest soul. Absolutely right. Anybody else? We should have about 4 or 5 reasons coming up here. Why does God love you? You love His Merle? Okay. How about, I'm God's child. He has to love me. Yeah? I follow Baba Srimat. Therefore He has to love me. I'm a beautiful soul. How could He not love me? That's 3 reasons. Okay. So how many qualities have you written down? Who hasn't got 6 yet? Oh dear. You're just a slow rider, that's all right. Being a slow rider is allowed. Now, what I would ask you to do is to rewrite those qualities as complete sentences. So, if you've got caring, I am caring. If you've got loving, you write the sentence, I am loving. Turn them into whole sentences. You might have to rewrite them into a different part of your page. I still see lots of pens flying across pages. Okay, let me carry on. Create a key affirmative statement, including one of your qualities that you've identified. Find the quality you think is the most important. Put a star against that one, or rewrite it as an affirmation. Now, there's a whole pile of examples on the last page of your handout. If you look at the last page of your handout, you'll see a pile of affirmations there which you might like to choose from. Yeah, pick one quality and turn it into an affirmation statement. Now, it might be okay as it is, but it's nice if you can extend it and make it into something a little longer. And there are examples on the last page of your handout. No, don't try and combine them all, no. And the nice thing is, it doesn't particularly matter which of your virtues you pick out, because they're all linked together. And they're all linked to virtues that you haven't even thought of today. Okay, let me talk about your homework. Read your list of positive qualities, the sentences, every day. Yeah? Just read the list, top to bottom, once every day. Then repeat your positive affirmation statement about yourself to yourself at least 20 times a day. Now think about this. How long would it take you to do that? It doesn't take you a second to read that one sentence. So reading it 20 times to yourself is going to take less than 20 seconds. Not a big deal. Okay? Now there's a story of a golfing pro. He would teach people how to play better golf. And if there was somebody new, he would say, well, this is how you grip the club. And what you need to do is to place a golf club somewhere where you pass often, in the hallway or something. And to practice the grip every time you pass it, make sure you practice at least 20 times a day. But he said if somebody had been playing for a few years and had learned bad habits, he would tell them to practice 150 times a day. Now, if you've been engaging in negative thoughts about yourself, it's good to practice this 150 times a day, your positive affirmation. Think about it this way. If you did it 10 times, every time you have a traffic control on the hour, it's only going to take you 10 seconds, not a lot of time. You do that 15 times during the day, you're going to get up to 150 times, no problem. And the good part of this is that every time you say your affirmation statement, you cancel out one negative thought that you've had about yourself. And you have to ask, in my lifetime, how many negative thoughts have I had about myself? Probably quite a lot. So going for the 150 is better than the 20. But 20 is a good minimum. Yeah? Now, I have to share with you, when Diane gave me this exercise to do, I thought, that's silly, you know? But actually, this particular exercise is one of the most useful tools in the whole bag of tools I want to give you in this course. I'll give you a little example. Somebody who came on the course with me said, I can think about my positive qualities, but I can't write them down and I can't say them out loud, you know? So I said, okay, your homework is to think your positive qualities 20 times a day. So she agreed to do that. When she came back a week later, I said, well, how was it with the affirmations? Oh, yeah, no problem. I can write them down and shout them out. No, but not easy peasy. Yeah? So this is a powerful tool. And I gave the course recently to somebody 2 nights a week. And towards the end of the second week, I said, how's it going with the affirmations? And she said, I noticed that my negative thinking is getting to be much less. So this technique is very valuable. It really works, and it's so easy to do. Yeah? So go for it. And every time we have a session, this will be your homework, amongst other things. Maintain your meditation every day. Think about what it means to be humble and what it means to have self-esteem. How would your life be different if you had perfect self-esteem? If you were really soul conscious and had good self-esteem, how would your life be different? How would your relationships with other people be different? How would your relationship with the seniors of the Brahma Kumaris be different? Yeah? Let's have a go at a little meditation commentary to finish. If I can get this little system to work. And I'm looking for something nice, presence, yeah? So now we'll do an experiment with discovering the inner being. Sitting quietly. My body calm. Relaxed. And still. I turn my mind inwards. I know that my eternal identity is not my physical costume. This body is simply an instrument that I use at this moment. For a little while, I would like to find out more about the being that is actually operating this physical body, this physical instrument. In the quietness, I can feel the source of life shining, radiating light in the center of my forehead. I come back to the identity of my eternal self. This is who I am. And no matter how my body may change, no matter how the circumstances of life may change, no matter how relationships change, or even how the world changes, I am eternally a being of light. Within all the changing factors of the universe, I am constant. I am a point of light. With peace, with love within my own being, I am the source of life itself. Turning inwards and discovering myself, I realize how I have become a stranger to myself. I had forgotten myself, and so I had not been able to love myself. And now, discovering myself, I begin to make friends with myself. I acknowledge the value of my own existence, the beauty of my own being. And in this recognition, I once more begin to love myself and respect myself. Om Shanti. Here endeth the lesson. Was it interesting for you today? Yeah? Good. Now today, it's slightly a bit of a downer because we spend a lot of time looking at self-esteem and what it is, and it's all a bit, ugh. We have this nice high note at the end about our own virtues and qualities, starting the process. Next session, we'll start building some real tools that will help us to defeat low self-esteem. And you'll find it really interesting. So I do hope you're able to come tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you all again. Om Shanti.